Welcome back, everybody. I'm Rick Pettigrew with the latest batch of four fascinating news stories from this past week of Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. A new published study points out the similarities between early North American flake stone tools and their counterparts in East Asia. A re-examination of Egyptian chronology destroys some assumptions as it puts the giant eruption of the Thera volcano before the beginning of the New Kingdom. New dating of the Mitchell Log, a central monument of the prehistoric North American city of Cahokia, puts it smack dab in the center of the city's heyday. An analysis of the lower leg bone of a giant kangaroo argues against the idea that early Australian migrants were responsible for the extinction of the Australian megafauna. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have hundreds of titles you can binge upon on Roku, including our recent video about searching for the lost aircraft of Amelia Earhart. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in February 2026 with our tour of spectacular sites from the impressive civilizations of Cambodia, including Angkor Wat. Please join us for that. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. And now here's Laura Kennedy, back again with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of October 19th through October 25th, 2025. We begin this week in North America, where archaeologists are considering the potential links between early indigenous peoples and their contemporaries on the other side of the globe. As reported by phys.org, experts have long debated the timing of the first human migrations into North America. Some have posited that groups traveled across the Siberian land bridge during the end of the last ice age, some 13,000 years ago, while others have argued that a Pacific coastal route was possible as early as or even earlier than 20,000 years ago. As the team described in the journal Science Advances, their analysis of the evidence supports the latter scenario. They describe a journey during the last glacial period that began in the northwestern Pacific Rim, including present-day Hokkaido, the northernmost of Japan's main islands. Contemporary genetic studies have also presented evidence that early indigenous peoples in the Americas had East Asian and Northern Eurasian ancestry. The research team examined stone tools from five main sites in Virginia, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Idaho, each dating between 20,000 and 13,500 years ago. Known as bifaces, these tips are flaked on both sides to create a razor-sharp hunting weapon, a significant leap in hunting technology during the Upper Paleolithic in Asia and Europe. The tools of this kind recovered in the Americas display strong continuity with similar artifacts from late Upper Paleolithic sites throughout East Asia 20,000 or more years ago, especially sites in Hokkaido. According to study lead author Dr. Lauren Davis, an archaeologist at Oregon State University, their work is the first to draw connections between research sites across the globe, demonstrating the strongest evidence yet that the earliest Americans shared Paleolithic traditions that occurred throughout Eurasia. And we invite you to see our video interview with Dr. Davis about this 16,000-year-old Idaho site, Cooper's Ferry, in our Archaeo Newsmakers series on TAC at archaeologychannel.org. Next, we visit the ancient Mediterranean, where a re-examination of Egyptian artifacts thought to be from the New Kingdom is shifting our understanding of major Bronze Age events. As reported by Heritage Daily, the eruption of the Thera volcano on the Greek island of Santorini, which took place around 1600 BC, has long been used by archaeologists as a marker to sink ancient Aegean, Egyptian, and Anatolian timelines. A devastating event, this eruption destroyed the Minoan city of Thera near the village of Akrotiri on Santorini, as well as communities and agricultural areas on nearby islands and along the coast of Crete. Digging deeper into the story of the Bronze Age, this study is the first of its kind to directly compare the ages of a notable batch of ancient Egyptian artifacts with those of the Thera eruption. Originating during the 17th and early 18th dynasties, these items, a mud brick from a temple, a linen burial cloth, and wooden stick figurines called shaptis, are from the shift from the Second Intermediate Period to the New Kingdom. The research team outlined their methods for analyzing the Egyptian artifacts in the journal PLOS ONE, beginning with the carbon-14 dating process. Their results indicated that the age of Thera's eruption is significantly older than the Egyptian artifacts by about a century, placing the eruption entirely outside the period of the New Kingdom. It likely took place in the period before the beginning of the 18th dynasty, founded by Pharaoh Amos, which is estimated to have begun no earlier than about 1550 BC. According to the research team, a key artifact that had long linked the eruption to this period can also be discounted. Inscriptions on the Amos Tempest Stela describe severe rainstorms that many researchers thought occurred during the Thera eruption. We know, based on modern climate data, that severe rainstorms in southern Egypt are extremely rare, given that the region has a hyper-arid desert climate. And the new analysis of dates indicates that the eruption took place before the reign of Amos. We now take a look at a new study centered on an iconic artifact from Cahokia, the largest and most influential prehistoric city in North America, and what it can tell us about the city at its political and economic peak. As reported by Phys.org, the Cahokians, like many of the indigenous peoples of their era, created large wooden monuments that were placed near prominent buildings, communal spaces and plazas, and pyramid mounds. Dr. Nicholas Kessler led a team of archaeologists that conducted tests on the largest known Cahokian marker post, the Mitchell Log. The team reported the results of their radiocarbon dating and strontium analysis tests in the journal PLOS ONE. While it measures only 3.5 meters in length and weighs about 1 metric ton today, in its heyday, it likely spanned 18 meters and weighed 4 to 5 metric tons. Locals likely cut down the tree around AD 1124, when it was around 194 years of age. Of note to the research team was the type of wood the pole was made from, bald cypress. These trees do not grow in the greater Cahokia area, which is across the Mississippi River from St. Louis in southwestern Illinois. Strontium isotopes indicated that the cypress likely originated in southern Missouri, northern Arkansas, western Tennessee, or southern Illinois, no less than 180 kilometers away. According to Dr. Kessler, the most likely method of transport for these logs would have been to float or raft them up the Mississippi River. Another potential hypothesis is that the logs were carried via the trails and roads that likely connected Cahokia to its neighboring communities. This method was documented in Chaco Canyon, New Mexico, where myriad logs were transported up to 80 kilometers from the surrounding mountains to build the structures there. The dates of the Mitchell Log's creation line up with the period in which wooden monumental construction, the integration of local agricultural systems, and the prevalence of exotic materials in the city were at their peak. In all, these point to the date of Cahokia's political and economic heyday. With an approximate population of 20,000, Cahokia was clearly the largest city north of Mesoamerica. Dr. Kessler notes that immigration rapidly expanded the city in the late 11th century, laying the foundation for its prominence in the mid-12th century. The reach of its goods, ideas, and people spanned from the Gulf Coast into the Great Plains, an influence that would shape the trajectory of the Midwest and Southwest for generations to come. Finally, we visit Western Australia, where a new look at a prehistoric fossil is leading archaeologists to update their view of ancient indigenous groups in relation to the megafauna who walked alongside them. A common assumption has been that early human hunters drove these animals to extinction, but direct proof of that has been lacking. As reported by Smithsonian Magazine, archaeologists in the early 1900s recovered a lower leg bone belonging to a giant stethonurine kangaroo from Mammoth Cave in southwestern Australia. A research team examined it in 1980, finding a series of cuts that they identified as evidence of human hunting. Utilizing today's technologies, a new study has demonstrated that the cuts were made after the bone had fossilized, information that reshapes the narrative about the hunting activities of the region's early indigenous populations. Michael Archer, leader of the research team and professor of paleontology at Australia's University of New South Wales, Sydney, was part of the first group of archaeologists 45 years ago. For the new study, the research team scanned the bone with micro-CT to peek inside without causing any damage. They also ran a radiometric dating analysis to get an estimate of the bone's age. Their results, as described in the journal Royal Society Open Science, showed that the bone showed markers of shrinkage cracks. These occurred before the cuts were made, but after the kangaroo had died, a key sign that the bone was in the process of fossilizing rather than being from a recently hunted animal. To further investigate the relationship between these ancient humans and their local megafauna, the research team noted a fossilized tooth charm that had been given to an archaeologist by a First Nations people group in the Kimberley region. Belonging to an extinct marsupial that likely lived near Mammoth Cave, this charm was some 2,000 miles from its origin, indicating it had been transported and possibly traded across that distance. According to Kenny Travoyan, study co-author and curator at the Western Australian Museum, this points to a cultural appreciation and symbolic use of fossils among Indigenous Australians long before it began among European scientists. While the open question as to whether Australian megafauna were butchered by First Peoples remains, this study provides us with insight into the importance they placed on symbolic art, trade, and cooperation. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our growing subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.